Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. The Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 120-115 loss to the Indiana Pacers in overtime. And look, man. There's no more moral victories, not for the defending champions. I don't care. A loss is a loss. Give the Pacers full credit. You know, a couple of tough calls in the fourth quarter, a couple of tough calls in the overtime period. But realistically, the Pacers won this game flat out because they hit some massive, massive shots. So you got to give guys like Aaron Holiday a ton of credit. Definitely an eye-opening experience from him. And, of course, you got to give Miles Turner a bunch of credit, too, because he hit some big threes. And whatever, it is what it is. The Pacers made a bunch of shots. They're shorthanded, too. They're on the second half of a back-to-back. Just tip your hat to them. I never wear a hat because my head's too big, but, you know, like, if I had one, I'd tip it. But, you know, just with the Raptors themselves, like, I'm just so proud. I'm so proud to watch this team. Because, like, yo, they don't know what it's like to quit. They just don't. They never quit. If you look at it this year, the Raptors have played 30 games. They're 21-9 now. They played 30 games. First of all, 21-9, pretty damn good record. But still, they played 30 games now. They have been blown out exactly one time. And that was when Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers came to town. And, you know, the Raptors lost by 20 in that game. But you think about that. Once in 30 games, especially in the modern NBA, with so many threes being shot, so much tanking going on, so much load management, everything like that. You know, teams get blown out left, right, and center, man. I've seen some damn good teams get blown out. The Raptors, one time in 30 games. It's super impressive. And this team is just, it speaks to sort of just how competitive they are. Like, this team, no matter what you say about them, they're shorthanded right now, very, very shorthanded. They're exhausted. They obviously, you know, played all out last night. To complete the greatest comeback in the NBA in over a decade and a greatest comeback in the Raptors' history, at least regular season-wise, I still think the 26-3 run against the Bucks was definitely up there. But this team just never knows when to say die. They do not say die. There's so much heart in this team. Like, they're shorthanded. Whatever. They got heart. They got a lot of heart. And when I come back out of this game, you know, like, whatever. They lost. It is what it is. The Pacers made some plays. Cool. But, like, what I remember from this game is the way Kyle Lowry stepped up for the team. Raptors, like, dead in the water into the end of the third quarter there. You know, trailing by double digits or whatever. Kyle Lowry hits two threes and then hits a driving layup, driving the full length of the court with, like, 6 seconds left. You know, he just grabs the rebound, goes all the way coast to coast like he's Russell Westbrook or something. And that gets the Raptors right back into the game. I think about the amount of heart that a guy like Terrence Davis showed as an undrafted rookie. Fourth quarter, you know, the Raptors need some offense. Back-to-back threes from Terrence Davis, who at that point, entering the fourth quarter, was scoreless and 0-5 from deep. So, you know, the young rookie stepping up, hitting two threes. No fear in his heart whatsoever. And then what happens? Kyle needs a breather. He's been willing this team back to life. The Raptors are in it. Fred VanVleet comes back in. What does he do? Well, I mean, Fred, honestly, kind of had some struggles in this game. You know, had a couple shots blocked, whatever. You know, Kyle Lowry goes to the bench. What does Fred do? Immediately, back-to-back layups. One, reverse layup. The other time, you know, he's in transition and just hits turbo and just blows by the defense. It goes all the way in for a layup. We know he's not 100% yet. You know what I mean? Like, since he's come back with that knee, he hasn't really had, like, a full-on Fred VanVleet kind of performance. You know, I think of what Fred did there. And then more than anything else, when I think about heart on this team by the Raptors, I think about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, man. This guy, like, first off, just you know, the amount of physical abuse and punishment this man takes just by design is kind of wild, because the Raptors are obviously without their starting front court. Like, think about that. Starting center, Marc Gasol. Starting power forward, Pascal Siakam. Both out of the lineup. So the Raptors are small. They got Ibaka at 5, OG at 4, Pat McCaw at 3. And the Pacers over there are start 2 7-footers. Like, it's just, it's different. It's just a different kind of lineup out there. And, you know, you need a lot of players to play bigger. And that's what Rondé's been doing all season. But especially in the last two games here, when the Raptors being undersized. You know, when you watch back in the fourth quarter, that comeback, Rondé guarding guys like Kristaps, you know, Maxi Kleber, all these other guys bigger than him, it doesn't matter. Rondé's going to win that ball. And he's going to fight for that ball. And the amount of physical abuse he just takes by going up against bigger players consistently is so commendable. But then you factor in a night like tonight where a lot of freak things happen. Like, for example, Serge Ibaka drove in the middle of the lane for a dunk, and somehow he kicked Rondé Hollis-Jefferson in the head. And Rondé's down. And he's dazed, but he gets back up. He stays in the game. And then later in the game, Rondé, first off, the possession before that, you know, he's covering two guys. One guy on the wing and the guy in the corner. Flies out, contests the shot in the wing, forces the pass to the corner, then somehow flies into the corner and contests that shot, forces a miss. Raptors go the other way. Rondé gets the ball off a pass from Kyle Lowry, cutting back door. And then Rondé gets undercut, but Domantas Sabonis under the rim. And it's a scary, scary, scary sight, man. Rondé falls flat on his back. And that hurts, man. He's falling on his tailbone, whatever. It's just like he's just down. He's dazed. It was very, very, very scary to watch that happen. And you're thinking, oh, my God, not another Raptors injury. And especially not to a guy like Rondé, who has just, you know, been playing a thardo. But what does Rondé do? Gets back up, shoots the free throws, you know, whatever. He goes 1 of 2 there. But then, you know, on defense, he's hobbling. You could tell he's not moving right. And what does he do? He blocks Miles Turner. Miles Turner is a 7-footer. You know what I mean? And Rondé is 6'7". And, you know, with a bad back, that's definitely hurting at that point. He's just like limping around, and he jumps up to block a 7-footer. Like, the amount of heart on this team is just amazing. You know, and you know, the Raptors fight out of this hole. You know, they're on the road. It's a hostile environment. Pacers fans chanting flopper at Kyle Lowry. You know, Kyle Lowry hitting them with 3 after 3 and then layups and all these kind of crazy shots. Fred VanVleet hit it like literally, he just signed a deal with and-one and was making and-one moves. All right. He looking like the professor out there with like a spinning. He pivoted and then he spun back into the middle of the lane. And then he sort of like hung in the air and sort of hit like a bank shot from like 15 feet. Ridiculous stuff with the shot clock running out. In the fourth quarter, just insane by Fred VanVleet. Fred then picking off guys like Jeremy Lamb at half court, bringing it inside to cut the lead to 1, you know, with like less than a minute left in overtime, stuff like that. I mean, you know, just the heart shown by this team, man. Like, it's so commendable. It's so much fun to watch this team. And again, whatever, they lost in overtime, you know, Aaron Holiday was just insane. Like, honestly, the Raptors should have just won this game in regulation, period. But Aaron Holiday stepped up to end the fourth quarter there, hit like 2 or 3 pull-up jumpers, and then had a couple of nice assists to the Pacers in the corner and stuff like that. And, you know, he stepped up, and in overtime, he hit another 2 threes. And, you know, Miles Turner got open for a 3, and then another one, he hit a super contested 3 with the shot clock running down. The ball, like, basically, he caught the ball, put the hand up here, and then just instantly flicked it up. Well, Kyle Lowry's right underneath him, like, in his face, and he hit that 3, too. So, whatever. Again, you just tip your cap to whatever. The Pacers, they played with a lot of heart, too. They won the game tonight. They hit more shots. The Pacers hit 18 threes. You know? Okay, cool. Yeah, you know, on average, the Pacers make the third fewest threes in the NBA. On a per-game basis, only the San Antonio Spurs, who are stuck in the 1990s with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, and also, quite honestly, Greg Popovich, and the Golden State Warriors, who have like 2.5 legitimate NBA players on the roster right now, hit fewer threes per game than the Indiana Pacers, who shoot like 9.5 threes per game. They hit 18 threes tonight. And yeah, the Raptors gave them a lot of attempts, but still. You play by the percentages. There's no Malcolm Brogdon. Obviously, Victor Oladipo hasn't played this year. You know, you're going to, and you have two giant players in the middle of the lane there, and the Raptors are super shorthanded in the front court. You take your chances from three. And you know what? Again, you give the Pacers a lot of credit. They hit 18 threes. What are you going to do? The Raptors hit 11. And, like, honestly, cutting to the fourth quarter, they were just that the number was so comically low, just as it was against the Mavs. But, you know, the Raptors fought, man. They fought. They really, really fought. And I just, I love watching this team right now. You know, I don't even have that much else to say about this team, really, other than just, like, I'm so proud of them. They're, again, like, the fact that they're so shorthanded means they have no structure, no size. They're giving up concessions all over the place. But, like, everyone is just totally committed. No one is saying quit. Nobody. Nobody. And I, you know what I love right now? I love how into the game Nick Nurse is. Like, Nick Nurse is taking a technical foul every game, just complaining to referees, getting on them, just, you know, every single play. And there's a lot of plays where, you know what? Yeah, the referees are just, you know, shorthanding or shorting the Raptors. But you know what? Nick Nurse is on these officials. Why? Because he wants to motivate his team, man. He wants to motivate his team. They're shorthanded. They're fighting. They're not saying die. And Nick Nurse wants to join the cause. And, you know, again, it's just, I love this game. I love this game. It was an incredibly entertaining game. I feel really proud of them. And, you know, I said after the Mavs game, I was like, yo, if you're going to win, especially with all these guys out of the lineup, especially against better teams, teams that are competent and not like the Wizards or like the, you know, the Pistons or whoever else have been playing recently. If you're going to win against these shorthanded teams, well, you know, these good teams with a shorthanded roster, you need to play all out. And it's not realistic to expect a team to play all out every single game, the full quarter or the full four quarters. Like, it's just, you know, it's just not realistic. But at the same time, the Raptors in every one of these games will have a moment where they say, we're going to give it a shot here. We're going to give it a shot. I know we've been screwing around for the first, like, you know, two quarters, three quarters, whatever. But usually Kyle Lowry comes in and says, hey, let's give it a shot. And that's what happened today. Kyle Lowry, you know, leading the charge. Terrence Davis, Fred VanVleet, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson joining him. And everyone just giving it what it got. And honestly, they came very close to getting the win. They really did. I mean, the Raptors led for a lot of the fourth quarter there. Again, Aaron Holiday, a second-year point guard. Yeah, the man really stepped up. Like, you would think without Brogdon, the Raptors have an easier time. But nah, man, I can't imagine Brogdon, you know, making the kind of clutch plays that Aaron Holiday was making. Not that Brogdon is not good and not capable of making the same plays, but just, man, Aaron Holiday was insanely good. He looked like Jrue Holiday out there tonight. But, you know, Kyle was making some crazy shots, and you know, the crowd chanting his name and stuff, or you know, chanting flopper at him, and him going back and forth, and then him showing his, you know, pointing to the ring finger and telling them, hey, you know, I'm a defending NBA champion. Also, Kyle Lowry at his age, you know, like, I feel almost dumb bringing this back up, but like, you know, I looked at it in the offseason, the history of NBA point guards or NBA players 6 feet or shorter. At the age of 33 and above, Kyle Lowry's 33, he's about to turn 34. Even averaging like 12 points per game while playing like at least 70 games is like unprecedented, or even 65 games is like unprecedented. There's like John Stockton, and then there's some like random players in there, like Tim Hardaway randomly had one of those years. But it's like a super, super short list, and it's basically just John Stockton. And you look at Kyle Lowry, last night, 32 points, you know, 20 in the fourth quarter tonight. 30 points in 44 minutes, shooting 10 of 21 from the field, 5 of 12 from deep. This guy is incredible. He's a magician. Like, the way he just wills this team to win and to compete and to get up. And he just, you know, like, it's not even just, like, the scoring, but, like, the passing. Like, the two passes that he found where Terrence Davis cutting backdoor and also Rondae Hollis-Jefferson cutting backdoor and Lowry finding those guys is just amazing. And honestly, the swagger that Lowry's playing with is just, I missed this. I really did. You know, all of last year, we didn't really see a lot of swaggering Kyle Lowry moments. It was mostly about Kawhi's team. You know, it was Pascal's team. Danny Green hit some game winners. Serge hits like a game-winning three, you know, on the road against the Wizards, something like that. Kyle Lowry, you know, he had to wait until the playoffs to really assert himself. And even then, he asserted himself in a game, but he wouldn't, you know, assert himself the whole way. He would turn the reins over to Kawhi or whoever. this year, especially with Pascal out, Kyle is just back to like, yo, like I'm a future Hall of Famer. I'm the greatest Raptor player in NBA in franchise history. I've contributed to so many wins. And I'm going to just take over and lead the charge. And it's, again, it's just so impressive. At his age, to do what he's been doing, kind of injury, he broke his hand, and, you know, like, and he's back and he's hitting all these pull-up threes. And it, like, the driving game is amazing. He somehow keeps getting to the free throw line. You know, he's the last couple of games, he's hit some really, really tough push shots, whether that's, like, you know, over a guy or, you know, tonight, for example, he hit some over seven-footers. He had that and-one against Lon Wright against the Mavericks. Tonight, he hit some, you know, floaters over some seven-footers, bank shots, stuff like that. Like, just tough stuff, man. Kyle's just amazing. And, like, you know, it's just we as Raptors fans, we just take him for granted all the time. Like, you know, there's no way to fully appreciate how good he is. It just... He's really spoiled us, and Kyle is phenomenal tonight. And you know, I saw a little tiny bit of bickering about Kyle taking a step back three, you know, to end regulation. Raptors got the stop and had the ball with like 15 seconds left. It was tied, 107 all, and down the last possession, the Raptors had a timeout. Kyle Lowry walks right by Nick Nurse on the sideline. It seems like I would assume they discussed something about what they were going to do. But Nick ultimately decides not to call timeout. Kyle Lowry gets the, you know, sees Jeremy Lamb one-on-one and step back. Got separation, got the shot off. And honestly, the shot was just short. And it went to overtime. And, you know, some people were complaining like, oh, you know, maybe Nick should have ran a play and stuff like that. It's like, I mean, what are we talking about over here, man? What you're missing is the fact that Kyle Lowry is like the swagger is fully back. The confidence is fully back. Like the fact that the Raptors are even in a position where they had the ball to end regulation with a chance to win the game. That was all on Kyle Lowry. Like, Kyle Lowry willed this team. And he fully deserved that shot, in my opinion. So I have no issues with that shot, especially considering, you know, whatever. You run a play. So what? Like, what are you going to do? Like, the Pacers are still going to collapse the paint, and you're probably still going to get a contested three. You run a screen with Kyle Lowry, you're probably going to draw a trap, stuff like that. You know? Whatever. Kyle Lowry was able to kill the clock, take the last shot. It rimmed out. Whatever. They went to overtime. They had a chance to win it. And the Pacers hit a whole bunch of dumb threes. And that's it. It's like, all right, cool. But, you know, that's life. You just live with it. So I thought Kyle was great. And it's been such an enjoyable experience to watch Kyle. You know, I can't say enough about Rondé, man. This guy, I just hope he's physically okay. Like, he really deserves a bath after this game. Just like a long salt water bath. Just like... you know, I don't know what Alex McKechnie's going to give him or something like that, but just, damn, this guy is breaking his body every game to play. And tonight, he played 38 minutes, was just such a force on defense and also contributing where he could on offense, you know, drawing fouls, stuff like that. But, I mean, like, he's, like, playing power forward while, like, Miles Turner is out there. You know what I mean? Like, he's going up against Sabonis, and he's winning offensive rebounds. Like, the heart that this guy shows is crazy. And even a guy like Fred VanVleet, man. I mean... The way Fred is able to just step up in the fourth quarter and overtime, and when the stakes are higher, Fred VanVleet steps up his game, ice cold, you know, like just like ice in his veins, you know, like stepping up, hitting pull up threes and stuff like that. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, you wish you had the win tonight, but you can't argue with the effort whatsoever from the Raptors. In terms of your three stars, Kyle Lowry, obviously number one star, 30 points on 10 of 21 shooting. 5 of 12 from deep, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal in 44 minutes. Yeah, you have 5 turnovers, whatever. But, you know, the most important stat is that he's an NBA champion. And he reminded Pacers fans of that. You know, they wouldn't know what that looks like. The last time they won a championship was, the ABA or something like that, you know? So, yeah. A lot of them don't know what that feeling is like. Actually, the Pacers, really, all they know is the feeling of losing in the first round in the last couple of years. Because, 2016, you know, Norm Powell did that thing to them. After that, I think they missed the playoffs. And then Paul George got hurt. And then he came back. And LeBron was there. Yeah. And then last year, I mean, yo, you know, they got hurt again. But, you know. Still in the first round. So Kyle Lowry just showing them, like, hey, listen, there's levels to it, you know. In terms of the second star, I'm giving that to I'm giving that to Rondé. You know what? Screw it. You know, the stats aren't necessarily always there. 8 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks in 38 minutes. But, like, come on, man. It's just in terms of the pure hustle and stuff like that, like, he's almost in that Bismack Biyombo territory of just, like, being able to just rally. And his all-out hustle and effort really defines this team right now, especially when they're shorthanded. You know, willing to defend anybody, literally 1 through 5. And he will take on anybody. Like, after he got his back broken by Sabonis, he wins 2 offensive rebounds off of him. Also, another one where he failed to get the offensive rebound and he got called for the loose ball foul, but he, like, smacked Sabonis across the back. And as someone watching this game, I was cursing Sabonis' name repeatedly. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of happy someone smacked him. You know? Yeah. It doesn't make me a bad person. Whatever. I'm a bad sport. But still, I kind of really enjoyed Ronnie Hollis Jefferson smacking Sabonis on the back. But you just look at it, man. Like, 3 blocks. And just, like, the efficiency and the passing, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rondé, when he's out there offensively, you know, his role's limited. Especially against a team like the Pacers, who have such great rim protection. They're such a disciplined team defensively as well. It's not going to be easy for Rondé to get his points off. But at the same time, man, the 6 assists on a night like this, where the Raptors weren't hitting a lot of outside shots, that were 11 of 40 from deep. You know, Rondé really did make a couple of great passes, including one to Fred VanVleet to give the Raptors an advantage there in the fourth quarter. So I just love the way Rondé played. And again, man, this guy got kicked in the face by Ibaka. He got his back broken and stuff like that. And he's still doing what he's doing. He's just truly, truly inspirational performance. And then third star, I'll probably give that to Fred. Even though, I don't know, man, Fred had a weird slow start, but, I mean, you look at the end of the game, 21 points, 11 assists, you know, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 of 18 from the field. That's pretty good in 41 minutes, and we know he's not 100% either, so I thought Fred was good. And you know, in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, I mean, you know, there's only one possible option for that. That's Aaron Holiday. 19 points and 10 assists with only one turnover in 31 minutes. And in the fourth quarter, man, down the stretch, he made every single play for the Pacers. Like, the Pacers had nothing going. Nothing. Nothing. The Raptors were running away with the game. Not running away, but they were definitely, they had all the momentum. And Aaron Holiday steps up, makes a bunch of jumpers, makes a bunch of passes. And honestly, the Raptors, you know, they were prioritizing defending the paint. Like, Ibaka was going inside. You know, they got Sabonis in there. They got Turner in there. Even a guy like Warren's a legit 6'8", you know, pretty good rebounder. You know, the Raptors were prioritizing paint defense. And so Aaron Holiday stepped up, hit a bunch of these shots. I don't know. That's kind of the Raptors' defensive, like, strategy at that time. You know, when you're small inside, you have to really, you know, drop back and just protect the paint. That's what the Raptors did. And, you know, you just got to tip your hat to a guy like Aaron Holiday for hitting all these threes, man. To be honest, I did not know he had it in him, but he also made some impressive cross-court passes. And it's just wild, because I remember watching Aaron Holiday and, like, the Raptors play the Pacers in summer league. Aaron Holiday's out there, and the man shot, like, 3 of 24 or something. Like, Terrence Davis sunned him. So it's a little surprising that he killed the Raptors so bad in this one. But he was really a killer in this one. And then your Pat Patterson Award, I mean, I don't even know, man. It's hard to give one. Like, I don't want to get on McCaw. Like, he's just limited. It is what it is. Right? This wasn't a game for McCaw. It wasn't a really quicker, smaller guy to guard. I mean, you could have had him out there against Aaron Holiday, I guess. But are you going to take Fred or Kyle off the floor for their offense? No way. So, you know, I don't know. Boucher. But, I mean, like, it was just a bad matchup for Boucher. It's not, like, a bad, like, game necessarily. It's just, like, he's too skinny to handle a guy like Sabonis. It just is what it is. Sabonis was, like, running through him. Like, he was a, you know, screen door, just bust right through the guy. So, I don't know. Yeah, so, you know what? No Pat Patterson Award tonight. Just everyone played with a lot of heart. In terms of your KC bucket of the game, I got to go with that Fred VanVleet bucket, man. I still don't know how he made it. But late shot clock, getting pressured, Fred drives in the lane, stops, pivots, you know, jumps off one leg, you know, hanging in the air and then floating, and it hits like a leaning jump shot. It's ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. And yeah, what an impressive shot. And honestly, Fred had a whole bunch of KC bucks of the game. Just in the fourth quarter and overtime and stuff like that. When he picked out Jeremy Lamb, I was like, yo, the Raptors really have a chance. But then, you know, Aaron Holiday hit a three, and it was unfortunate. And honestly, you know, the only one thing I would nitpick from this game is that, like, I did wish Ibaka showed a little bit more hustle and compete on defense. Again, like the strategy was to drop back. It really was. And so if guys hit shots, you can't all of a sudden say Ibaka's lazy or whatever. Like the strategy was for Ibaka to drop back. But it did feel like in the fourth quarter there and in overtime, some key moments, I wish Ibaka made a couple of better reads and just, you know, not necessarily improvise and break the defense because you can't really do that as a center. That's how you end up, you know, bleeding a ton of points. But I wish he, you know, made a couple of reads there and made the life just a little bit more difficult for a guy like Holiday. But ultimately, Holiday bit hit a bunch of shots, and I really can't blame Ibaka for that. So it's just a tough game, man. Whatever. The Raptors were shorthanded. They had a great chance to win it. They couldn't get it done, but they made a huge comeback. They showed a ton of heart, and I don't know. Nothing to really complain about, honestly. It's just very proud of watching this team, and, you know, I have no complaints. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast, and I will be back on Christmas Day to recap the Raptors game against the Celtics. I really, really, really hope they win that one.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.